Well, today we are resuming our preaching series, 1 Corinthians. And I'm bringing you part 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I wonder how many of you remember part 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I preach 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1, no, 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 1 to verse 20, and I entitled that message, Body Pains, Part 1, okay? And I was supposed to preach the second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Body Pains, Part 2, on the 1st of March. I preached Part 1 in February, and I was supposed to follow up with Part 2 on the 1st of March. But we all know what happened, right? We all know what happened. And I think the lesson, one of the lessons that COVID-19 wants to teach us is that life has its interruptions. We may plan, we may purpose, but then interruptions happen in our lives. And for most of the time, these interruptions are not major ones. They are more like inconveniences, so we need to make slight adjustments. But sometimes these interruptions are major ones. They cause major upheavals, like COVID-19. And perhaps in the last few months, you have had difficult times. You had experienced a crisis, health crisis, a financial crisis. But I think that God has allowed this to happen for His purpose. And I really believe that in every situation, in every circumstance of life, God wants us to know this truth. He is in control. He has not lost control. He has not lost the battle because COVID-19 is raging in our world. He has not lost control. He is perfectly in control. And He has allowed it so that we can learn spiritual lessons, so that our faith can be built up, so that our relationship with Him can become closer and can be deepened. And I really believe and I trust that over the last few months, you have had the experience of knowing God in a deeper and in a fresh way. But today we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the title of this sermon is Body Pains, Part 2. All right? And so since most people would not remember Part 1, I would like to give a very quick recap of Body Pains, Part 1, the message that I preached from verse 1 to verse 20. Well, Paul's focus in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was on the subject of spiritual gifts. And he began chapter 12 with this statement. He said, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." He was concerned that there was this problem that the people in the Corinthian church, they had either no understanding, very little understanding, or wrong understanding concerning spiritual gifts. And because of that, issues had arisen regarding the understanding and practice of spiritual gifts among the many, many problems the Corinthian church experienced. And so, for Paul, there was a need to bring correction, and there was a need to bring some instruction. And so very quickly, let me go through the first 20 verses of 1 Corinthians 12. From verse 4 to verse 6, Paul wanted the Corinthian believers and all believers, including us here today, to know these things. He said, there are different kinds of gifts, service, and working, but the same Spirit who distributes them, the same Lord and the same God at work. Different gifts, different workings, different services, but the same Lord, the same Spirit, and the same God at work. And secondly, in verse 7, he said, to each one, to everyone in the Corinthian church and to everyone here. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's to benefit everybody. And thirdly, he said the Spirit distributes them to each one just as he determines. It is completely the prerogative of the Holy Spirit to give as he sees fit. And Paul went on, after describing the nature of spiritual gifts, he begins to teach them about the nature of the church. And he likened the church as the body of Christ in verse 12. The church is the body of Christ. And because he gave this metaphor, it tells us two important things, the nature and the function of the church. And so Paul said there is one body. One body with many different members, with different gifts, different services, and different workings. But one body, different members, but one body. And every member of this body of Christ have a specific place and function. Your hand is here, right? Your hand is not up here. It is placed where the Spirit has determined, just like the parts of our body. Now, suppose if I were to have an accident and I lose, you know, and my right hand is detached from my body, and I go to the hospital and I see the surgeon and he attaches it to the back, to my back, that would be a tragedy. And Paul said, again, the one in charge of this placement service is the Holy Spirit. And so the conclusion is this: if every member of the body of Christ functions as God has intended, then the body of Christ will be healthy. The body of Christ will be strong. It will experience vitality. But, always a but, they were having problems because the body or the members of the body were not functioning as intended by God. And so Paul had to address two wrong mindsets, two mental attitudes that had brought about the problem. Paul identified two major threats to the health and vitality of the body of Christ. That's why I call it body pains. Because these two mental attitudes were causing ailments and pains to the body of Christ. And the first one is this. This mental attitude, this spiritual inferiority complex that says, I am insignificant. Insignificance, the feeling of insignificance, the feeling that I am useless, the feeling that I cannot be used, I cannot contribute. Anyone of you feel this way? Do you feel like you have nothing to contribute to the body of Christ, to the family of Christ? You feel like maybe you are an appendix, no use at all? And so when you have this feeling of uselessness, it breeds this, it breeds insecurity. You don't feel secure. You say, my gift is unimportant. I cannot preach, I cannot teach, I cannot heal people, I cannot perform miracles, I cannot cast out demons. I cannot even sing in tune. So I'm useless. I have no worthwhile role to play. I am needed. And I think this body can get along without me. You don't need me. And so you have this mental mindset, I do not belong. But on the other hand, and this is the message from verse 21 onwards, Paul addressed a second problem, the second mental mindset, which is this spirit of independence, this spiritual superiority complex. And what is that? This spirit of independence. In verse 21, Paul says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Insignificance says, you don't need me. Independence says, I don't need you. You see the difference? Insignificance will say, you don't need me. Independence will say, I don't need you. Or put it another way, insignificance will say, I am not needed. Independence will say, you are not needed. And so while there were people, there were believers in the Corinthian church who felt useless, who felt insignificant, on the other hand, you've got this group who agree. Yeah, you're right, you're useless. You have nothing to contribute. You have nothing worthwhile to give to this body of Christ. And so people who think that way, who have this mental attitude, they think that they can function on their own. They don't need anybody else. They can do things apart from others because they have the greater gifts. They have the higher gifts. Perhaps they can prophesy. They can teach. They can perform miracles. They think that because they possess the higher and the greater gifts, they do not need the others. So for this group of people, their belief is that there are only a few spiritual gifts that are really important. And usually, what are these? The ones that are visible and the ones that are spectacular. But the problem is this. With this kind of attitude, they began to look down on their fellow brothers and sisters. They began to disdain those in their eyes who possessed the lesser gifts. They have this attitude that such people can be done with because their gifts are not important. You know, when you have that attitude, when you tell people you are not needed, you are actually dismembering the body of Christ. You're just cutting off parts of the body. Now, even as I look at you all this morning, actually, there are more people this Sunday. I think attendance this Sunday has been the best. But I still have this feeling that the body of Christ at Ferris Park Baptist Church has been dismembered. Not every part is here. Some of you are here, some of you are at home, Tanjung Bunga, Tanjung Tokong, Infinity, or wherever else. But it's like, you know, we are not together. We are apart. And it feels very strange. I don't feel good. I feel something is missing. Something is missing. Paul says it is very important that you have the right understanding concerning spiritual gifts, because if not, you're going to create a lot of problems. What is a wrong understanding concerning spiritual gifts? These people who believe that their gifts are more important, they have this understanding that there is a hierarchy when it comes to spiritual gifts. So, gifts are arranged in order of importance. There's a hierarchy of importance. So there are the higher gifts and the greater gifts, and there are the lesser gifts. But Paul said, no. Spiritual gifts are not hierarchical in nature. Although in verse 28, there might be a problem because Paul said, and God has placed in the church first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. So put it this way, there might be this wrong thinking that the most important gift of all is the gift of apostleship. Any apostles here? None. Prophets. By the way, prophets, according to Dr. Thomas, are the preachers. Wow, so I'm second on the list now. But that's not true. In the list of spiritual gifts, yes, apostles are mentioned first. And then prophets. But it is because the church is built on the foundation of the prophets, of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20. And Pastor Ray Stedman said, this list is not in order of rank, it's not in order of importance, but rather it is in order of historical appearance. The apostles came first in the church. And so there is no absolute hierarchy of importance when it comes to spiritual gifts. So what does this mean? All gifts, every single one of them, they are important. And they are all needed, not just some. And we must remember this, spiritual gifts are freely and sovereignly given by the Holy Spirit. We cannot claim credit that we deserve the gifts that we have. But all this wrong thinking, this wrong mental attitudes, they were bringing great harm to the body of Christ. They were making the body of Christ sick and dysfunctional. And what are the symptoms? What were the symptoms? Divisions, disunity, rivalry, competition, insecurity, pride. And so Paul wanted this group of believers who thought so highly of themselves to understand the value system of the kingdom of God, to understand the value of every member of the body of Christ. And so in verse 22, Paul said, on the contrary, bahasa we say, di sebaliknya. Hokkien, I don't know, okay? On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. The Corinthian church was filled with status-conscious, status-seeking believers. People who were filled with a sense of self-importance because they have the greater gifts. Because they felt they were at the top of the spiritual pecking order. But Paul said, on the contrary, he exposed their wrong thinking. He said, you are wrong. Do you know how wrong you are? And so Paul turned their value system upside down. The value system by which they appraised the significance of spiritual gifts. It was like giving them a slap in the face. Wake up. Wake up. And so Paul said, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker, you think they are weaker, they are indispensable. They cannot be done without. You cannot say, I don't need you. You cannot say that. And the parts we think are less honorable, we give special honor. Think about it now. If you have an accident and you get a scar on the side of your face, what will you do with the scar? You would probably try to cover it cosmetically, if you can't, plastic surgery, because you want to cover this part. Suppose I lose all my hair. What do you think I will do? Probably wear a hat. Or probably wear a wig. We try to conceal these so-called less honorable parts. And it's okay. It's okay to wear a wig. It's okay to go for plastic surgery. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. I believe Paul is referring to private parts. I mean, today I come and stand here and wear a pair of singlet. I don't wear pants. I would be a great embarrassment to myself. Private parts, the parts that are unpresentable, must be appropriately covered up. And so Paul said, actually, the presentable parts, they don't need special treatment. They don't need special treatment. I want to share with you this insight by this Bible teacher. I quote him a lot. But I think his insight is beneficial for us. I think he said something that can enlighten us on this situation. He said, the body illustrates what he, Paul, is teaching. Those members of the body which are of the least importance are those to which we devote the most attention and effort. Our hair, right? We can live without our hair, but we devote a lot of attention to our hair. We paint our toenails, ladies. We put rings on our ears, men too, and noses. We put rings and jewelry on our fingers. But the truth is, we can live without ears or hearing, eyes or seeing, fingers, hands, legs, toes. The least needed members of our body are the ones which are most visible and to which the most glory is given. And yet, they are the lesser gifts. Those gifts which are most visible, most vocal, most glorified in the Corinthian church are, in reality, the least important gifts. These Corinthians have been storing up sand in their safety deposit boxes and using gold for stepping stones. I like that. As the body illustrates, just the reverse is also true. The most important gifts, like the most important organs, are those which are not visible or spectacular. Those of which we are the least conscious. You cannot see my spleen, my kidneys, my liver, or my heart. But I cannot live without them. They do not get a lot of attention. I have never seen pancreas powder. Dr. Fawn, got or not? Or heart highlighter. I do not have to glorify these organs. They do not need any compensation. They are in truth the most vital members of my body, whether I see them or not, and whether others value them or not. And so God has put together the body. God has put us together. And Paul said, when he does that, he gives greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Greater honor to the parts that lacked it. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the spiritual discipline of service, and I talked about hiddenness. People who serve quietly, out of the eye, out of the glare of spotlight. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, no matter what your gifts are, no matter what you think about the value of your contribution, I want to say your value is immeasurable. Even though the things you do are not seen, your value is immeasurable. Within the body of Christ, there are secret members, secret service. Because they perform service in secret, secret service. But what they do is exceedingly important. They perform valuable service. For them, anonymity is preferred. Many times I say, come on, I share testimony. I can do anything except ask me to come up to speak. They prefer to be out of the limelight. Who are they? The people who pray. Wake up in the middle of the night and pray because God is saying, you pray. Pray for this person. Nobody knows that they are praying. People who are engaged in services of helps and encouragement. So Paul says, every member is valuable and indispensable. Everyone performs valuable service. You know, while I was doing research, I found out about the importance of my big toe. Do you see my toe is hidden, right? I'm wearing socks and shoes. But my big toe is very important because without my big toe, I cannot maintain balance. And my big toe carries a major part of my body weight. But my big toe is hidden. Hidden but performing valuable service. And so Paul says, not independence, not insignificance, but interdependence. And so Paul said, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Interdependence. God has designed the body this way. Every member with its own unique function. Every member with its important role to play. All the members are interdependent. None can be independent because the purpose of God creating the body of Christ is to promote unity, not division, not dissension. And no member can function without the support of the rest of the body. Let's learn a lesson from our own human body. I found this from Google. I don't know if it's correct. Fawn, you correct me if it's wrong. We also know that each individual body system works in conjunction with other body systems. Right, Dr. Tina? So far, so good. Dr. Bing, correct? Correct, okay. Each of your body systems relies on the others to work well. Your respiratory system relies on your circulatory system to deliver the oxygen it gathers. While the muscles of your heart cannot function without the oxygen they receive from your lungs, The bones of your skull and spine protect your brain and spinal cord. But your brain regulates the position of your bones by controlling your muscles. The circulatory system provides your brain with a constant supply of oxygen-rich blood, while your brain regulates your heart rate, and blood pressure. Even seemingly unrelated body systems are connected. Your skeletal system relies on your urinary system to remove waste produced by bone cells. In return, the bones of your skeleton create structure that protects your bladder and other urinary system organs. And meanwhile, your bones are busy making new blood cells. Working together, these systems maintain internal stability and balance, otherwise known as homeostasis. Correct? Correct, yeah? Okay, homeostasis. Disease in one body system can disrupt homeostasis and cause trouble in other body systems. My mother suffered a stroke. What happened up here in the brain affected her speech, affected her memory, affected her physical movement. Every member of the body of Christ is interdependent. You cannot do without any of them. That's the message. And therefore, Paul said, every part of the body must have equal concern for each other. You must have equal concern for each other. Why? Whatever affects the body as a whole affects each member of the body. When one member suffers, everybody suffers. When one member is honored, everybody is honored. When Raymond gets the glory, we all say, hallelujah. We don't covet his glory. We are happy for him. When he launched his album, Higher. We rejoice with him. We go on a high with him. Next album, if he says it's deeper, our respect for him will deepen. That's how the body works. You know what Martin Luther said? He said, see what the whole body does when the foot is trodden on or a finger is pinched. I was so tempted to ask Joel to come and step on my foot. But Martin Luther said, when you look at what your body does, how it responds when your foot is trodden on, how the eye looks dour, the nose draws up, the mouth cries out, and all the members are ready to rescue and help, and none can leave the other, so that it means that the foot or a finger is trodden on and is pinched. It's not that the foot or a finger is trodden on or and is pinched, but the entire body. The entire body reacts. It's making a sound, but it's not moving. Can you help? Okay. And so Paul took great pains to explain to the Corinthian church that in all that diversity, there is unity. He said, now you are the body of Christ. You, every one of you, you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. I'm not going to read that because I read that just now. Paul said, you are the body of Christ. Many members, but sovereignly appointed by God. And so Paul asked this question, or this series of rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? since those who are insignificant says, I'm not an apostle, so I therefore cannot contribute. Or the other group that says, you are not an apostle, therefore you cannot contribute. So Paul says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer is, no. No. And so, you are wrong to think that only certain spiritual gifts matter. The truth is this. I think it's because of our human nature. We are impressed with the spectacular, with what is seen. We tend to be impressed with that. But from my experience, and I think you can agree with me. I think you probably have experienced the same thing. God loves to work through what is unseen and unspectacular. Our Lord Jesus, was He spectacular? He performed spectacular things, but outwardly He was not spectacular. Unity in diversity. Can you please move the slide? But then Paul said, now eagerly or earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now, Paul, what are you talking about? You just said that all gifts are important. There's no hierarchy. There's no more important, less important gifts. But why are you now saying earnestly desire the greater gifts? And I think we need to understand what Paul meant when he said greater. The greater gifts are not the ones the Corinthian believers were thinking about. The greater gifts are the ones that are most profitable for the body of Christ. The greater gifts are the ones that bring the most benefit to the body of Christ. And Paul said, this would include the hidden ones. And so Paul said, eagerly, die also must seek. Eagerly desire, seek after these gifts. Why? For the greater good of the body of Christ. And then Paul said, next slide, please. And yet I will show you a more excellent way. And this will be covered in chapter 13 by Pastor Weenie next Sunday. He said, spiritual gifts are important. But how you use spiritual gifts are even more important. It's even more important. The way of love. Love is the key in using spiritual gifts in a way that will benefit, that will profit the body of Christ. It is not so much the gift, but how the gift is practiced that is of greater importance. And after that, in chapter 14, Dr. Thomas and myself, we will look into this principle of edification in the practice of spiritual gifts. So how do we respond? We respond in the way that Paul wanted the Corinthian believers to. Paul said to them, and he says to us, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are a part. Christ has baptized us into his body. We have been baptized into the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. I shared this in my message, Body Pains Part 1, but I want to bring this up again. Pastor Scott Grant had this to say about the importance or the necessity of diversity. Diversity is necessary for unity. Well, seems contradictory. Diversity is necessary for unity. And unity gives diversity purpose. Each of us is different and therefore special. But in our uniqueness, we are part of something. We are part of something and therefore belong. But in belonging to something, our uniqueness is essential. Your uniqueness is designed to fit in. Furthermore, it is designed to be effective because you are different. You may not think you are not supposed to do anything. On the contrary, because you are different, you are supposed to do something. The body of Christ needs your uniqueness. The problem is sometimes the hand wants to be the head and the eye wants to be the mouth. The body of Christ needs your uniqueness. You are needed. You, Y-O-U, unique. Everybody is important. You know, as I look at Mrs. Liu, I'm reminded of what Mrs. Liu and a group of ladies did last week or 2 weeks ago. They were using their spiritual gifts, hidden. Nobody knew. What were they doing? Making face masks. For the migrant workers. Can you tell me that what they did is less important than what I'm doing now? No. Thank you, Mrs. Liu, and the team of ladies who spent many days. How many days? I don't know. You made what, 500 face masks? Can't remember. Okay. Not insignificance, not independence, but interdependence. I want to end by telling you a story. Okay, you may have heard this story before. And the story is entitled The Carpenter's Tools. Anyone here who does carpentry? Nobody, yeah? Oh, okay. Ready? Once upon a time, okay, that's how most stories start, okay. Some tools lived together in a carpenter's shop, but they were having some problems getting along. Sounds like the church. And there were complaints that some tools were not doing their share of work. So they met to discuss their issues. As the chairman, Chun, the hammer spoke first. Brother Drill, he began, you and your family are so noisy and you spin in circles going nowhere. And the drill quickly spoke up. It's true that I go around in circles and my work makes noise, but at least I am sharp. Pencil is small and often so dull that he makes a bad impression. He needs to be sharpened a bit if he expects to be of any use around here. Pencil felt defensive and spoke up. Yes, he began. I am a little blunt at times, but it's because I work hard at my job. At least, I'm not rough like sandpaper here. It seems all he does is rub us the wrong way. We know quite a number of people who are sandpaper, right? They rub us the wrong way, abrasive. That remark made sandpaper really angry. Hey, what about ruler here? He measures others by his standards as though he's the only one who is right around here. Wow. Ruler surveyed the group and said, I'll go if I have to. But then, so must screwdriver. He's so annoying, always tightening here and loosening there. Screwdriver angrily spat out, fine with me, I'll go. But plane must go too. His work is superficial. There's no depth to it, he said. To this, plane level, his terse reply. Saws cuts hurts. She divides instead of unifies. Saw rose up to answer these accusations when suddenly a noise at the door stopped all conversation. The carpenter walked in, ready to begin the day's work. He put on his tool belt and stepped to the workbench. He picked up the pencil and ruler. Carefully, he measured and marked the wood before him. He sawed along the marks and then planed the cut edges of the wood to smooth the rough edges. He hammered joints into place and drilled holes for screws to make the piece sturdy. Then he sandpapered the wood to a silky smoothness. All day long he worked, using first one tool and then another. At the end of the day, he gave a hearty blow and blew the dust from the finished product. And then he said, beautiful. I couldn't have done it without my tools. Each one had an important role to play. No one tool could have done all the jobs. They are all important. Which reminds me, sometimes I use a screwdriver to try to open cans. When we work together, praying, giving, serving, we are the carpenter's tools. We are the master's tools to finish his work. Sandpaper, thank you. God bless you for making me smoother. Drill, even though you go round and round in circles, praise the Lord. Because you are sharp. Pencil, you may be a little blunt, but thank God, thank you very much for working so hard. Every one of us must not have the mental attitude that I am insignificant or I am independent, I don't need anybody. We all need each other. We need each other. We are all tools in the Master's hands. Together, if we use our gifts in love, we will contribute to the health and vitality of the body of Christ. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You know, gifts, the Greek word I believe is charis, gifts of grace. You don't deserve it. gifts of grace, but be faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms to bless the body of Christ so that we can be healthy, so that we can be used by our Master. Amen. Amen. Let's all pray. We're going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to sing this song, "We Are the Body of Christ." Let's pray first. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have made us to be members of your body. You have baptized us into the body of Christ. And Lord, we are all members of your body. Different parts, different members, but we are all part of your body. And we are all valuable, and we have our place, and we have our function. I pray for all of us here, Lord, that God, that we will celebrate the diversity in our midst, oh God, that we will appreciate one another. We will not look down on one another. We will not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. But that, Lord, we would have this desire to be faithful stewards of the gifts of grace that you've given to us, that as we employ the spiritual gifts in the spirit of love, we will see the body of Christ grow in health and in strength, O Lord, so that we will be ready to do the work that you want us to be doing. So help us to love one another, help us to appreciate one another, to encourage one another, and to spur one another to greater works for the glory of our Master. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.